Good afternoon, everybody. This is Robin Ayu from the Localization Fireside Chat, and welcome to another recording. Welcome to another episode. Today, we're recording episode number 92, and today we are talking about SaaS and software as a service and SaaS sales. And today, we're going to be focusing a little bit on revenue generation. And I have with me, and I have the honor to have with me, CRO of MemoQ, Mugais. And Mugais, welcome to the channel. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your time with me today. MemoQ is a well-known name in the industry, but I will be focusing the conversation on selling from a SaaS perspective and how is that working for MemoQ and in general for the SaaS industry, today's conversation. This is something we don't talk a lot about on the channel. We tend to focus on the technicalities of things, how things are running, you know, the business aspect of it. Once in a while, we get into a conversation about sales, but sales is very important. I mean, if you ask anybody in the industry right now, any industry, not just necessarily the localization industry, what's the primary goal? What's the primary concern? That's how you revenue. Everybody's heading in the same concern, if I may say so. I haven't met anybody who says, oh, God, you know, I have too much revenue. Come and take some. That's not the case at all. So, well, guys, welcome to the channel again. A pleasure seeing you again. I mean, I see you in Toronto or in events here and there, but first time on the podcast. So I appreciate your time with me. Would you mind introducing yourself, Mugais, to the audience, if you don't?
Yes, thank you for having me, Robin. Always nice to catch up with you. So I'm Mugais Jahangir. I'm the CRO of MemoQ. I've been with MemoQ for about 5 years and been in the industry for around about the same time. But I've been involved in software sales for about 10 odd years, and I made my transition from purely software sales to software sales in the language industry. So it was a little bit of transition. But I have a little bit of a perspective from both sides.
And so, Mugais, where were you before MemoQ on the software side? You mentioned software.
So I've been working with a few companies. The last one that I worked for was it was kind of like a nonprofit organization, but not exactly. But it was kind of the mission was more angled towards nonprofit. It's a company called Synergy. It's headquartered in India, but I was working in the UK office, and I was living in the UK back then. And the software was primarily aimed at enterprises to kind of measure the impact of their CSR efforts. So it's in certain regions it had high impact, but in certain regions there was a knowledge aspect that had to be involved. So again, the consultative selling was something that I was able to carry forward in MemoQ.
Absolutely. And you mentioned consultative selling, so I'm assuming that's the style for when you're selling MemoQ solutions and SaaS in general?
Yes, absolutely. I firmly believe that. And I think in the past couple of years, it has become even more stronger, not just in the language industry, but software sales as a whole has evolved quite a bit. Mm-hmm. What I was doing 5 years ago, I wouldn't dare repeat the same strategies today for a few reasons. I mean, the market and the customers that we interact with, I'm mostly talking about B2B and enterprise sales throughout my conversation. That's what I would be focusing on. And you would notice that companies have a lot of options. There is a lot of competition in every industry. And you would also notice that the customer is very well informed now. We are not living in the age where you would introduce MemoQ to someone in the industry and they will say, oh, wow, I've never heard of it, right? So they probably are aware, right? So they're probably aware of it. They're probably aware of all the major players in the language industry. Or I mean, if you're talking about any other industry, you're mostly aware of what's going on, you know? So it's the small things that really matter. And what I've noticed is when you take this consultative selling approach, where you are not presenting yourself just as a software solution, but as a growth partner for your customer, that's where the value comes in. Mm-hmm.
And you know, you mentioned strategies earlier. Can you give the audience some insights to, you know, some of the strategies you use? You mentioned consultative selling. Is there specific things around that? Or is it the way we know it is consultative selling, I guess? Or do you utilize the different methods for it?
I would say it's more about tailoring what you're providing in the software, combining it with what the company wants to achieve, and then becoming a growth partner. That's what I would consider. If I'm a salesperson and I'm talking to a prospect, I would call myself their growth partner. And what they are trying to achieve is what we want them to achieve through our tools or our software. Right. So that's the kind of approach we want to take. The other approach that you could take, you know, that I've seen a few years ago, there were a lot of software providers that had that approach. I don't even know if their name exists now, but It was more of like, this is the software that we have created. It can do amazing things. Here are 10 examples of how companies have made millions through it. You should use it. And here's the price. A lot of companies will do it still and try it, and maybe they'll benefit from it. But over the long run, it doesn't work very well, because nowadays enterprises value an approach where they want to be partner with their vendors. They want to partner with their vendors and understand how they can bring value beyond a set of code that is implemented in their workflow.
Oh, absolutely. So you mentioned B2B, and obviously most of the interesting conversation when it comes to SaaS is in BNB, B2B business. But the other flip side of that, that business to consumer, you become maybe Facebook or any other tools out there. From the business to business perspective and a consultative approach, when you mention being their growth partner, I can remember this conversation like years ago. I was having a conversation with somebody, a potential customer at the time. That's got to be way back. And I was, some of these conversations, they stick in your mind, right? So I was saying to this customer, I said, I want to be your partner. And the guy goes, no, you want to sell me your software. So what is it? What is it that you bring into the table? And then you bring in a solution and I'm paying for it. I get the label, like I want to be a growth partner. How does that work from your perspective though?
Yeah, so I can give you some examples of how that works, especially in MemoQ, where I found that I was able to see it live. I've always heard of this strategy, but when I started working for MemoQ, that's where I actually saw this working in action. So it's primarily focused on building the right team around the service that we're providing. So it is a software, but it's a service, right? So the team that we have built, let's say if you are buying MemoQ today, it is a software. We will try to create a customized version of MemoQ for you. That's great. But then once you're working with MemoQ, you will have a dedicated account manager, right? So normally, traditionally, an account manager is there to help you with your issues with your software or any regular licensing issues. But what we've created is an environment where the account manager is an industry expert. So the current account manager, for example, if you buy MemoQ today, she would have 40 years of experience in the industry. So the person that you're working with is not just there to tell you how to activate your license, but the person actually provides you guidance on how you can scale up your localization efforts, right? And we have seen companies do that. They reach out to us, not talking about MemoQ at all. They will call us and they'll present a problem, and they will discuss with us, how do you think we can resolve this? And this conversation may or may not involve a MemoQ. It would just be a sort of consultative conversation where we would use our experience from the 20 years of experience that we have gained in the industry as a company, talking to hundreds of companies on how they have tackled various problems, how they have resolved certain issues. Some companies might be in a small company in a high growth stage. We might have a large enterprise that wants to scale even higher. We have seen all of these scenarios, and we have seen what has worked in different companies, and we help everybody grow using that strategy.
So this is selling to the industry, but I know you guys sell to the enterprise as well. So how does that strategy work for the enterprise? I mean, when I say enterprise, just for the audience, so they know, I'm talking about companies who generally are a customer to the industry and not necessarily one of the 19,000 language service providers in the industry.
I think it's even more important for the enterprise side. I would say that if you're selling to the industry, you might be able to overlook that because you might have that expertise in-house. But when you're working with an enterprise, that's where they really, really need it. So when the procurement department is acquiring a software and you tell them that this is not just a tool that you'll buy and you'll be left on your own, but you tell them there'll be hand-holding involved and there'll be consultation involved, there'll be the ROI that they see is not just a tool bringing in more efficiency, but they also see that if they need to scale, if they need to build up their internal localization team and not rely on third parties and just build everything in-house, MemoQ could be a partner in doing that. And if they don't want to do that, they want to expand globally, for example, a smaller company going global, who do they talk to, right? Fine, they acquired MemoQ, they have two translators, let's say in-house, and they are working with different vendors. Who do they talk to if they need to know that, hey, we need to expand to Japan, for example, right? What should we do, right? So that's where you can have these conversations with our team and just get some ideas. And we also have a lot of other initiatives internally that we work with our customers. Like we have these roundtables that we organize with our a group of customers, and we just discuss ideas and what we are doing, what we are thinking we'll do next, what do you think you would like to see in the industry next. So these discussions that are happening within the group of our customers with our teams, they can relate to what we are selling, and they see the value that, you know, we, in these discussions, we are not selling anything. In these discussions, we are just offering more value for what they've already paid for.
And I know you guys have user groups, and you meet frequently with various regions. I guess user group is around the world. I'm assuming it's not necessarily just in the local regions where you and I are, but it's around the globe. And that's part of your strategy as well, to reach out to your user groups.
Yeah, so we have these small gatherings in different cities around the world. So we call it MemoQ Days. And that's, again, a unique opportunity to understand what we are trying to do here. Anybody's free to come to these small MemoQ Days. You know, this is not a sales environment. This is purely a group of MemoQ enthusiasts coming together and people who might be interested in MemoQ coming together, talking to our customers and understanding what we are doing and celebrating the successes that we've had together. And we generally invite our users to talk about how they've used MemoQ, and that's how others might want to benefit from it, right? So that's the whole purpose of these gatherings. And I think customers have really, really appreciated that, because again, this is not a sales event. This is not an event where we will bring people in and talk about what's the next thing you should buy. These
more
are just
educational environment, do you think, guys? Or
Exchange of ideas, more so. Education, exchange of ideas. One customer learning from other customers. To give you another example, you know, if you are working, let's say, in the legal sector, and you have implemented MemoQ in a certain way, and the other company in the same sector has implemented MemoQ in a different way, and when you two talk, when you bring them both in the same room and they talk to each other, they realize, okay, I can do that in my workflow as well. And they both exchange these ideas and they both benefit from it. I've seen customers, once they leave MemoQ Day, they go and they set up calls amongst each other and they create their own group that we are not even aware of. Yeah. And they just discuss ideas on what else they can do with MemoQ. So there's like an entire forum going in the background that I probably don't even know about.
And maybe it's me for the audience, but the audience can relate to that, is that I personally, in our industry, in the language industry, I haven't seen a lot of, you know, forthcoming when it comes to sharing success stories about by LSPs or by people who are using, not necessarily just MemoQ, anything. You know, you look at the white papers that are out there in our industry, they're more of a marketing white papers than they are an actual description of what and how you solved a problem in comparison to other industries, which you and I are exposed to many other industries, not just the localization industry. But you see a lot more forthcoming. I was heavily involved and still am with the market research industry in the same idea. People are forthcoming. They come in and they describe, and they're proud to describe to you what have they done in order for them to solve a specific problem or customer related issue or whatever the case may be. They want to show that. They want to showcase it. They want to look good in showcasing, and they describe it in details. This is not just a, and I don't know if you feel the same, but my question to you is how forthcoming this information is.
In my experience from our customers, they are pretty open about it. And whether or not they're talking about it outside the MemoQ circle is a different question, right? But I know that when we are having MemoQ fests and MemoQ days and gatherings of whether it's virtual or in person, they're quite interested in talking about it. When I go to conferences, you know, the Lock Worlds, the ATAs, one of the common themes that I've noticed is when someone comes to me and says, so what's new at MemoQ? And they will talk about some very small thing in the tool, and they say, why don't you talk about it? You know what that's done for us, right? It's such a great thing. We love it. And there's a different thing picked up by every other person. And they say, you should talk about this. You should talk about this. You should talk about this. And then I go back with this giant list of notes. And so we have to talk about these 200 things that everybody's brought up. So overall, I feel like, what should we pick? Like, so they are forthcoming, but there's so much going on. They probably are not doing it in a public forum.
Yeah.
As you might have seen in other industries.
I know.
Yeah, it's more closed circle.
Yep. No, I feel like one time I was attending a conference, one of the conferences I was attending is, you know, people take the podium and they really describe what's going on and they describe the actual problem and solution provided and they take pride of that. And there's like, and that particular industry sector had awards for the best solutions provided out there. Again, I just feel like in our industry a little bit more secretive, like it's as if nobody knows what the hell is going on in our industry, or people don't know, you know, what the general services are being provided. It's just like everybody knows everybody's business, but nobody knows. Nobody wants to know. Nobody wants to talk. I'm not sure.
We are probably the introverts amongst all the industries.
It's like, come on, you could take content from one language and put it into another language. I'm on. Just give me a little bit of benefit of the doubt here. So how is the market looking for you right now? What does MemoQ represent in terms of the market share, for instance, in the language industry versus others? What you can share.
So MemoQ is in a very unique position. So I mentioned B2B, but over the years, over the past so many years, MemoQ also has a B2C element as well.
Oh, you're targeting the freelancers?
So there is a huge group of people that have over time become MemoQ ambassadors without us knowing about it. So how I notice it is when I talk to an enterprise and I ask them this question, so why did you reach out to us? You know, just curious, and say our team of translators have told us that, you know, you have to get MemoQ. There's no other thing that we can work with. So they have become these ambassadors of MemoQ. And that element is really something that, you know, we value so much. We always say that we are doing things for enterprise, B2B and all of that, but we have a core group of fans that, you know, have over time been promoting MemoQ wherever they go.
Word of mouth.
That's the one thing that, you know, I feel like is so different about MemoQ, that you will have individuals in the industry who are in the midst of it, and they are bearing our flag without us even being aware of it, right? So that's one aspect of it. But in the B2B market, I mean, one of the things that MemoQ has been doing over the past couple of years, you know, with all the advent of AI and everything, we see there are a lot of companies pushing into the market, right? And they are probably marketing things in a way where, you know, you might find it very attractive and you would want to talk to them, right? So as is with every company in the industry or in other industry, which is, you know, just label everything with AI and let's see how it goes, right? So now what we are realizing towards the end of this year now is people are not just interested in what AI product you have, but it's like in the whole package, in the whole system, how does your AI fit in, right? How does it fit in into where I want to be as an LSP or as an enterprise? And I think that's also true for other industries now. So if I'm buying a software solution to implement in my sales team, for example, I would want to know, okay, great, you have AI, but how does that fit in to where I want to be? You know, it's being more precise, being more accurate, being more customized for my needs, right? So that's where the market has realized now. And I think that's where I feel like MemoQ has the advantage, because the AI solution, you know, that we created, maybe we didn't, maybe the market didn't see it that way in the beginning, because there was, you know, 20 different options to choose from. So they wouldn't just pick one. But over time, when they started looking at various other things and they realized, okay, what is it that we can use? Again, I quoted this example in one of the other podcasts where when we were initially bringing up AI in conversations, there was a lot of hesitation in the companies that they would say that we don't want to talk about AI right now. We have a policy. We don't want to introduce AI. But we did talk about it. We wanted to know why. And data security and privacy was one of the issues that was a major hurdle. So because we work with Microsoft OpenAI, we wanted to get that message out there with Microsoft and discuss how we can resolve this. So we came to an agreement that, okay, if anyone is using MemoQ's AI solution, which is AGT, we were granted an exception from Microsoft that none of that data will be used to train the model. So we solved one problem. By doing that, we opened up at least the opportunity to have conversations, right? So to be able to create your AI solution in a way that fits the needs of the specific organization, that's where I think the value will come in, right? Because everybody is offering anything in AI. You know, there is a lot of options right now. But how do you tailor your solution in a way that it fits into the whole picture for the enterprise, right? It shouldn't fit into just your business model as a software provider, but it should fit into the business model of the person, of the enterprise or the LSP that's buying it. And that's where we see the value. And that's where I think MemoQ is gaining the market share now.
So if you were to compare the predominant one right now on the, well, the one I grew up in the industry, so the one that I know about, it's got a lot more installed base, which is now it's called RWS, but it used to be called Trados back in the days. So where are you now? 50-50 with Trados, or what do you think?
I would say it depends on what region you're looking at. I'm not sure about the global market share and where specifically we stand, but in some regions you'd find Trados or RWS still leading the share, and you would find other regions MemoQ leading the market. So it really depends on the regional, you know, differences. Globally, I'm not sure exactly where the whole situation fits in right now, and it might still be the case that RWS has a bigger market share. And it also is important to know when you are talking to customers, if they have like five options to choose from. A lot of times when we are selling a software solution, it might be the case that they don't need anything that we offer, right? If, for example, someone comes to me and say, we are looking for a translation service, we need 5 translators to help us with projects. I mean, I'm not going to do anything about it. It's not, okay, well, we provide a software solution precisely, and that's where we can bring value, right? So it also depends on what part of RWS we are comparing MemoQ. So if it's the whole package where it includes the translation services as well, that's where it would be more complicated to calculate.
Yeah, that's right. Now, let's switch back a little bit about the actual sales organization that you manage. Can you describe to me or describe to the audience your sales structure, your sales organization? Since you are the chief revenue officer, I'm assuming globally the sales team reports to you. So how do you have it built? Like where do you have your team located? How many of them? That kind of thing.
So we have our global headquarters still in Budapest, but that's where the most chunk of our people are working from. But then the sales team is pretty scattered. So we have regional headquarters in various cities across the globe. So if you look at my screen right now, I have like 12 clocks just to understand if I have to speak to someone, which clock do I look at? So they are in various different time zones and they're very independent. The structure that I've created in the team is to give the team flexibility, and I think what I want to really do is promote creativity in the team. And that can only be done if there is that independence, that flexibility that the team has. And that's the structure we have created. So our team is working independently in different regions. So you would have people in Canada, there is someone in the US, there'll be someone in South America, and there'll be probably someone in France, Germany. So these are all scattered across the regions. But the primary objective of this is to cater to the local needs of each region. And I think that's where, again, I personally feel we have brought in a lot of value. You're in Canada, so to give an example from the Canadian market perspective, we have local people in Canada. You know, how do we get those people to cater MemoQ solution to the local market? Well, we make sure that all our people here can speak Canadian French, for example, right? Which is one of the requirements when you're doing business in Canada. The other thing that we also did this year was we added about 13 indigenous languages. That was the only solution in the market right now that can do that, right? So again, this is because we had local presence in the country. We were able to identify the local needs, and that allowed us to gain the market share in Canada because we appear to be We wanted to care for the local needs, and that's how MemoQ appeared to be very Canadian, right? Although it's an Hungarian company, but for Canadian market, we are Canadian. If you talk to someone in the US, they will say, oh, this is an American company or is it a Hungarian company? Because we tailored the solutions for local regions, and it goes from everything, you know, even in pricing, we tailor it to specific regions. If you talk to our customers in Japan, a lot of them are starting to switch over to MemoQ from other tools, because the pricing that we have created is tailored for that market. And if you see others counting words, they will say, okay, what's happening there? MemoQ doesn't do that, so maybe I'll just go with MemoQ. So there's like that shift that you will see in these regions. But this, we were able to achieve this by mastering in understanding what the local market needs. And this team is not as big as maybe some other giants in the tech world, but I'm pretty happy about the growth. I'm pretty happy about how the market is reacting to this strategy.
Excellent. And so just, you know, when you're looking to hire somebody, just to understand how that works from your side, what do you look for? What kind of skills are you hoping to find? And are you finding them easy? And does it take a lot of filtration to find the right individual?
It depends on the specific role in the sales team, right? So if you are a typical salesperson or a business development representative or that kind of
role. I'm assuming you have like categories, right? You have hunters, farmers, whatever you want to call them, plus yeah. Managers.
Yeah. And if you're looking for hunters, you know, you look for the qualities that the salesperson should have. You know, are you able to bring the message across to the customers? And when I'm hiring someone in MemoQ, there's another element that I have to bring in is the person a good listener? For me, that's a really good criteria, because in our industry, that's very important. You are talking to people who might already be experts in implementing TMS solutions, you know, so how are you going to talk to that person? You know, the first thing is you do is you listen, you know, you understand what they are trying to achieve with MemoQ, right? So I'm looking for these traits. And again, there is a huge regional difference here, right? So if I'm hiring someone in Canada, the skill set that I will look for that person would be completely different from someone I would be hiring in Japan, for example, right? Or in South Korea or things like that. So that's where I have to again bring in the local expertise. And in every region, we have a regional head or a regional director, and I would rely on their, you know, regional expertise to understand what we would need to grow in their specific regions.
So from what I'm understanding from you is centralization goes against your business model?
In terms of sales, yes. There are always certain things that will be centralized, right? Yeah, you know, there are specific company policies and all of those things that are uniform across.
SHR and all that stuff. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's always centralized. But when it comes to sales, I think it's very important that you are able to relate to the local market. You're able to relate to the customers in your region and understand the local culture and understand what's important for them and also be able to relate to what their needs are.
One of the things that it's important for certain regions, like Canada is being one of them and a few other countries at the same time, is and where the data sits. And you brought that up a little bit earlier, but that whole customization thing. And so what did MemoQ do? How did you solve the issue of data remaining in country in some cases?
That's a very good point. And when we established MemoQ Americas, we started looking into it. And so we work with Microsoft for our cloud data servers. And we established data centers in Canada, in the US, and in other regions where we operate in. So we have had Canada data centers for a long time. But we also offer on-premises deployments, right? So a lot of companies that work with sensitive data are still not open to deploying anything on cloud. And we are probably the best solution that they can use right now, because our on-premises deployment is at par with what we offer on cloud. So that's where we are able to, and we've always said that, you know, you can, we don't want to be in a situation where you have to change your entire company structure just to fit MemoQ. We want it to be the other way around. We can help you customize MemoQ so it fits into your workflow. And this is true for our entire product range, whether it's GlobalEase, which is the AI translation or MT service that we provide. It's true for all the product line that you can deploy it on premises as well. But the cloud data centers, we work with Microsoft, it is available regionally. And this was, again, going back to having a team, understanding whether the customers find that it's important, because in some regions, I've seen that they don't really care. But in certain regions, it's absolutely critical that the data remains within the country. So wherever that is critical, we establish that first. And wherever it wasn't nice to have, we kept that second. And the others that don't demand it, Microsoft still has that service. So it's good to have it there and be ready. You know, you never know. We are very, because again, when it comes to data security, like I said, one of the key priorities for us has been data security, because the kind of customers that we are dealing with, they are in the industries that deal with sensitive data. So we have to be prepared and be one step ahead.
Absolutely. Now, from where you're sitting and from in your position and from the conversation you've been having, just going to ask you a general question. Where do you think the industry is going?
I think the industry is realizing that there's a lot more behind the noise. This year, I think we have seen from January to December, there's a complete shift in mood. I would say early this year or late last year, there was this urge for everybody to kind of, it was like a race. What do I do? They've done that. What should I do? And I think by the end of this year, all of us have realized that, okay, it's not about that. We need to really calm down a little bit and just look at what the market really wants, what they need, and just forget about making a lot of noise for nothing, right? So I think I feel like the industry is now in a good shape for 2025. That's what I personally feel like, because I think everybody now knows that, okay, we've talked about 20 different things throughout this year, but I think only 5 of those really matter for the customer at the end of the day. So why not we just focus on that? And I'm actually excited for the next year.
So you mean when you talk about the noise, you're talking about the AI noise, I'm assuming, right?
Mostly,
so,
yes.
Reading your mind here, but everybody seems to be so thinking about AI, having nightmares or fluffy dreams about AI, depends on the individual, I guess.
Yeah.
They can have both nightmares and dreams if they want to, but AI. And you're right, to a large extent, it sounds like it's another technology that came into the industry that promised to wipe the industry, but it normally did not. I guess we absorbed it as an industry. Now we're learning how to deal with it and, you know, just offering as an option to the market and let the market decide.
Yeah, it's a learning opportunity. It was a learning opportunity not just for the buyers, for us at MemoQ, for the vendors, for the TMS providers, for all of us. It was a learning opportunity. So when we provided our AI solutions to customers, we didn't know how exactly they would use it in their workflow and how they would benefit from it. But by the end of this year, we had those conversations with them. Okay, it's been a year. Tell us what you feel about it. How did you use it? Where do you think it was good and where do you think it was bad? So now that we have all that data, now we know, okay, so we were a lot of companies will realize that we were talking about the wrong things. And what really mattered was based on the data and how they've used it. It's my personal experience. I've seen companies benefit from AI a lot more than I had expected in just 1 year. So that's why I'm excited. So I'm like, okay, now I know what they really need. And I'm just going to talk about that until the situation changes and they will ask for more. And that's how a company evolves. That's how innovation works, right?
Correct, correct. So from your side, you feel like the pendulum has started to move to the middle.
I would say
so. Not middle quite yet, yeah. But I mean, it's starting to move in that direction.
It's starting to make more sense to everybody.
So do you feel like, you know, we went through that whole, I compare it to the grieving process, you know, like you get a shock at the beginning and you go through, you know, some rejections and somewhere down the road, you start getting some acceptance.
Yeah, we could put it that way. Yes. And again, this has been a wild year for everybody. I would say that anybody I've spoken to have had the same thoughts, more or less. And it's like everybody is going back to the drawing table and saying, okay, what do we do now? So
sure.
We have had all these learnings and everything. And
absolutely,
the reality is starting to hit in now.
So what's Memoku priority for 2025? Can you share something with us?
So we have an added focus on providing solutions that, you know, with the existing TMS, we also want to bundle it with companies that want to involve AI in their translation. So that has been the strategy for 2024. But like I said, the learnings that we've had in 2024, we are excited to implement all of that in 2025. So we acquired Globalease late this year. It was part of that AI strategy, that understanding how the customers were using AGT, understanding where the gaps were, and to be able to provide and fulfill those gaps, globally is perfectly fitted into the entire model of TMS.
When did that you buy that provide. Company?
We announced the acquisition about it.
Oh, okay. So is it fully integrated yet or still working on it?
It is. We have the Globalease team working with us as well. So we have like a great group of AI experts, a part of our team, and we're pretty excited. And it's a lot of fun working with them. It's like they brought us 5 years forward into what we were thinking, and they're already bringing those ideas in. So it's pretty exciting to work with them. And every conversation we have with people who are using MemoQ already or just thinking about MemoQ, to see this new element brought in into the TMS environment. And it's pretty exciting to see how it pans out.
So can I bring in Globalease online so that it helps you on the AI side in 2025? You're going to continue that whole make sense of AI in your services. Where does it apply? How does it apply? And add some features and functionalities. I'm just paraphrasing what you're telling me. And
yes.
is that what I'm hearing?
Yes. And again, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, you know, the consultative selling, you know, talking to the customers, what do they need? Where do they?
Of course,
you're
not going to bring a feature on if they don't want it, right?
Exactly. So the conversation that we've had is there was always this missing element that, okay, you offer everything on premise, you offer the data security, but there's this one element, you know, when you send this data outside of MemoQ, it goes to a third party. And how do we keep this closed circle within MemoQ? And with Globalease, we are able to bring everything within the secure walls of MemoQ, if you may want to call it. But that's where, you know, we saw the gap and we were able to fulfill it.
So focusing on that whole option for where the data goes and the data security part. If the customer don't really have a preference, you're fine. If the customer has some strict rules around what their data should be or doing kind of thing, where it's going to be used, etc., you've got options for that. So give flexibility to the customer to decide how they want to handle their data.
Absolutely.
And so from other than the features and functionalities related to AI, any other innovation you'd be bringing online?
So far, that's what I can talk about. But yes, we are working on a lot of other things, you know, that hopefully we will be hearing about in 2025. But yes, as of December 2024, this is where we are.
For the audience, I know.
So
the audience, I know guys for a while. So when he says that, I mean they're working on something. So he doesn't want to spill the beans yet, but we'll catch them another time.
So you know, MemoQ is like it's when you are working in a founder-led company, you know, a small group of people that are always focusing on innovation. There is so much creativity in the team, and there is no limit to the imagination for our developers and our production team. So we're always excited as salespeople, as you know, we always have something exciting to talk about. So I'm pretty excited. You know, I can't wait to talk about what we will do next in 2025.
Well, I just, you know, for the sake of time here, we're coming up on the hour. So I appreciate your time with me. And is there anything you'd like to add in conclusion of our conversation today?
I would say just be excited for next year and look at things in a more positive angle and see how it helps you rather than it jeopardizing your work.
Wise words. Always looking at something positive is much more helpful for everybody than looking at it in a negative light. Well, guys, thank you so much for being with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Robin. It's a pleasure.
And for the audience, thanks so much for listening in. If you're coming in on our podcast, thanks for listening in, for tuning in. And if you're coming in on our YouTube channels, thanks for watching us. And if you don't mind liking and sharing, commenting for the content, I really appreciate it. And it will help the channel quite a bit. And I'll see you next time at the next episode, which is coming up again. We have another recording next week as well. So thanks so much for everybody. And stay online, guys, for a second until the upload is done. Thanks so much, everybody. Appreciate it.